And we're back.
You're tuned to the 8 o'clock buzz. Joining us now is Ruth Conniff, editor of The Progressive Magazine. And the release of Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker's emails to his gubernatorial campaign staff and to his staff as Milwaukee County Executive, often one and the same, that were recently released from the original John Doe legal investigation has created a bonanza for muckraking journalists in Wisconsin and across the nation. And Ruth Conniff, editor of Madison's own Progressive Magazine, has been among the journalists leading that charge into that fray or morass or whatever, however you want to describe it. And she joins us here in the studio, and she's going to give us a sort of a rundown on some of the top revelations from the Walker John Doe emails. Welcome to the 8 o'clock buzz, Ruth.
Yeah, great to be here. Thanks for having me.
So can we do sort of like a top 10 list or a top 5 list?
Yeah, so on our website, actually, we have a piece by Mary Battari of the Center for Media and Democracy, and we worked going through the documents in our shop, and she did that in her shop. And so she came up with a top 5 list, which I think we could pad out with some of the racist comments to reach a round number of 10.
Okay.
But to me, the first and most important revelation was the email from Cynthia Archer, who was one of Walker's top campaign people, saying to Kelly Reinfleisch, "Welcome to the inner circle."
Ooh.
And in her email, she explained that this private secret email network was part of the inner circle, and she said, "I use it throughout the day to communicate with SKW. SKW being the initials of our governor, Scott Kevin Walker, and also his email address, SKW@gmail, as well as Tom Nardelli, his chief of staff. So basically, I mean, that's a smoking gun right there. You know, here's a secret email network. What is it? It's not, as Walker described, this strange thing that was going on he knew absolutely nothing about. It is a network for communicating directly with him. And she said, you know, be sure to check it throughout the day, i.e. on work hours.
So this is a county staff person who's being basically during the taxpayers are basically paying to do campaign work during the day. That's the implication?
Yeah. And also, I mean, I think the really important thing about the inner circle is that this is not, I mean, Walker has repeatedly alleged that he knew nothing about this campaign work, this illegal work that was going on county time, which, you know, resulted in 15 felony indictments of his closest aides and associates, among other wrongdoing. You know, there's a few other felonies in there for things like stealing money from veterans that went on his watch. But he said he had nothing to do with it. He didn't know anything about it. And it's not credible for a number of reasons. But this, to me, is the real smoking gun, because it basically describes this email network as being all about communicating with Walker himself.
There's the smoking gun music we were waiting for.
Radio morning.
So that was a long.
Okay, so that's number one. What's number two?
That was a long number one. Okay, so I mean, Mary Battari of CMD, who wrote this piece that we posted on our site, goes through and says, you know, the clear policy, which Walker has said the clear policy in his office was against doing campaign work on the public dime. The totality email shows that the clear policy was pretty much to run a political operation that happened to also be housed in county buildings. Right. So. She puts the inner circle at number two, skipping to her number three, illegal fundraising for the governor and lieutenant governor candidates. Reinfleisch, you remember, is appealing a felony conviction. She pleaded guilty to a felony for doing campaign work just for lieutenant governor candidate Brett Davis. Hmm. The emails show that she was obviously working on the campaigns, not just of Brett Davis, but of Scott Walker. So campaign work for Walker, not just for Brett Davis on county time. That's the first time we've really been able to see that demonstrated.
That's ominous.
Number four for her is the cover-up. Walker tells his staff, and this email was already well-known and kind of an eye-popper, "We can't afford another story like this. No more laptops. No more websites." He sends that email to Tim Russell, his right-hand man, who's now serving time in prison for stealing money from veterans after Walker appointed him in charge of that job. Tim Russell was not a county worker. Why is he getting an email saying no more secret network, essentially, right? It shows that Walker was involved and understood. And in fact, the other part of this document releases an affidavit in which the Milwaukee County DA says, clearly this shows that Walker knew about this thing in advance. And in fact, after he may have been instructing his staff to destroy evidence, because when they get to the office after the no more laptops email, there are no more laptops. There is no more router. It's, in fact, according to Kelly Reinfleisch in one email, it's in my bag.
When did the county executive know, and when? What did he know, and when did he know it, to paraphrase the Nixon trials?
Yeah, and clearly he knew about it all along. Mm. That's the answer.
Okay.
Right?
What are we up to, number four now?
That was four.
Okay, number five.
Number five, this is the overview. Walker was in charge. Walker was at the center of this. Not only did he know, not only was he involved with this, you know, on the secret email chain in this inner circle, but he repeatedly micromanages his campaign. So when he's organizing 8 a.m. conference calls with a mixture of his county staff and his campaign staff, when he's tapping out talking points on his BlackBerry and telling his chief of staff what to say, it's very clear that Walker is directing this whole thing.
And you mentioned some sort of off-color or racist sort of comments.
Right, yeah.
I mean, you should be, you know, there's a saying, you should be judged by the company you keep. And some of these emails are, I don't know, how should I describe it, a little salty, perhaps?
Yeah. I mean, we have, you know, Walker's staff saying to each other on this email, we pulled out one early on as we were going through, saying, this will brighten your day. And it's a rant against Muslims. It's a Ground Zero joke about how they should put, you know, sure, they should put a mosque in, but they should put a strip club. And there's all these really corny names that they come up with for what the strippers should be called and what the sex shop stuff should be called. And it's all based on Sharia. And, you know, it's supposed to be really offensive to Muslims. So that's a huge knee slapper. So there's that one. There is the reference to people who receive welfare as mongrels. They're like mongrel dogs. That's a nice one. There's the much repeated email chain, which was actually kind of an old right-wing joke by the time Walker's staff got to passing it around and really enjoying it, which is like an attempt to offend pretty much anyone you can think of. It's, you know, I'd rather be a, you know, disabled, gay, homosexual, Jew, Black, single welfare mother than a Democrat, you know. So, you know, they're nice people. They're really nice people.
Yeah,
right. They meant it in the best way. But, you know, I think more
important. It was taken out of context. Right,
right, it was totally taken out of context. I think, you know, more important than the fact that these guys are creeps, which is very evident from these emails, is the contempt for their constituents. And I just think, you know, think about what it means to have a county government and what that county government is really supposed to be about. It supervises things like the Women, Infant, and Children's Nutrition Program. You know, they provide housing for the poor in Milwaukee. You know, they do a lot of services. And usually in these jobs, you have career people who really care about this stuff. And, you know, we know these folks in Madison. But a lot of them are probably listening right now, right? I mean, there are folks who actually care about trying to do good in the world who do these kinds of jobs because this is where you deliver government services to people, and they're really needed, and it's sort of a core, you know, it's the core underpinning of society in a lot of ways. Well, what Walker's staff did, first of all, these were creepy political people he moved into these jobs. So, you know, Tim Russell, who you can look up online and see him in his orange jumpsuit, you know, he was a longtime Walker political guy. Why is he running the Department of Housing in Milwaukee? Mm. And so when you look at the really nasty emails mocking people, you know, talking about mongrels or, you know, passing around jokes, And then you also look at the specific responses to crises that occurred in Milwaukee where these folks do not care about the people they're there to serve. It's not just that they're doing campaign work on the taxpayer time, which I think sounds a little arcane sometimes to people. It's like, well, yeah, they're politicians. They're doing politics. It's that the people who are at the lower level who are supposed to be delivering services are saying things like, okay, you know, this woman dies in a county facility for the mentally ill. She starves to death on the county's watch. They allow this to happen. And her elderly parents can't afford a lawyer but come to the county to say that they want to do something about it. They think it's wrong. And the emails among the county staff include the political people, and it's only about how to do damage control for Walker's gubernatorial campaign. They sneer. RJ Johnson, who's on the email train, sneers at these elderly parents and says, oh, nice timing. You know, they're coming out with this right before the election, as if that had anything to do with it. And then Walker himself says, don't make it public. Mm-hmm. You know, they want to delay. They're talking about maybe reaching a settlement with these parents. And they say the best time is after November 2nd. It's just, it's, they do not care. And Kelly Reinfleisch has the most choice words for these folks. You know, she says nobody cares about crazy people. She says we're having problems in our nut hatch. You know, so it's that. It's the contempt. It's the total contempt for folks who they're supposed to be there to serve, and the using of those people and the delaying of a response to those people in order to further their political interests. That's the really gross part to me.
Now, the governor has been on national media, and he says this is just all old news, and it's not going to carry any weight with the voters, and hey, there were no criminal charges brought, so why does anyone care? What do you think?
I watched that Fox News Sunday interview, and I mean, first of all, it was an I am not a crook speech. I mean, it was just, it was bizarre because he repeatedly refused to answer the questions from Chris Wallace, who is beloved by Republicans all around the nation and is also a pretty tough interviewer. And he said, you're not answering the question. He said, aren't you going to answer the question? No, Walker says, I'm not going to go through 29,000, you know, different items here. It's just old. Well, okay, Chris Wallace says, but why do you need to set up a secret email network in your office when you're a public official? Like, why do that? And Walker says, this just goes to my point as a partisan witch hunt. He says, you're not answering the question. You're not going to answer the question. No. He says, no, I'm not going to answer the question.
So that's a supposedly a friendly interviewer.
I mean, Walker needed to get out and talk to the press because he was getting hammered just for the fact that he left the state when all this stuff broke, went to D.C. and hadn't talked to anybody since they read the emails. And so his response to that is to go on the most watched show on Sunday morning on national television and refuse to answer questions.
So you mentioned there's some 29,000, or that's what he claimed, emails out there. Is this open that anyone can read?
Yeah, if you, you wanna go to our website at progressive, www.progressive.org, you can link directly to all of these documents and read them for yourself.
And that continues a longstanding tradition that the Progressive magazine has of releasing government documents. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, I mean, you're referring to the H-bomb case, which is the reason journalism students know a lot about the Progressive around the country. you know, there was a famous First Amendment case, a prior restraint case, where the government tried to stop the Progressive magazine from publishing, you know, the sort of how you make an H-bomb, which was, it was information that was already in the public record. It was available from the public library. That's how Howard Moreland wrote the piece, got the information. And that case was all about whether or not the government should really have the right to exercise prior restraint and prevent the publication of information. You know, it's been mischaracterized as a recipe for the H-bomb, that this was going to create this proliferation of H-bombs. Obviously, we're in, you know, have been a longstanding opponent of nuclear weaponry, and we're not trying to get people to make H-bombs. You need uranium to do that. That's much harder to come by than going to your public library and finding this information.
They don't have uranium on the shelves at the Madison Central Library?
Well, we weren't able to direct them to that anyway at the library. But yeah,
they're working on their catalog system, so maybe it's lost in the stack somewhere. I'm not sure.
Right.
Well, Ruth Conniff joined us from the Progressive magazine. Thanks so much for joining us on the 8 o'clock buzz, Ruth Conniff.
Yeah, great to be here.
And once again, go to progressive.org if you want to dig through all of those emails. If you want
to
stick around.
Your children to help put them to sleep.
Yeah, that's right. Bedtime reading.
Yeah, take them to visit grandma.
That's right. Stage readings, perhaps. I recently saw some testimony that was done as a stand-up comedy routine, quoting heavily from some of the Kelly Reinfleisch.
Oh, they're pretty.
Yeah. So, hey, it's all a public record right now. So thanks so much for joining us, Ruth.
Yeah, it's great to be here.